This Week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, featuring New Heart, New Spirit, with Father Don Hying, Rector of St. Francis de Sales Seminary.
Brought to you this week by Senglob Financial Group, reminding you to support pro-life causes.
And now, Father Don Hying.
Good morning. Welcome to the New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. This is Father Don Hying, rector of the seminary and host of this program, where we share with you stories of the people and events taking place at St. Francis de Sales. This week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, we have New Heart, New Spirit. Next week, tune in at the same time for Living Our Faith with Archbishop Jerome Lestecky. Our shows alternate every Friday at 9:30 a.m. on Relevant Radio. So no matter when you tune in during that time, you'll hear the latest and greatest news about your archdiocese and your seminary. As we've been saying, we welcomed back to school some returning students, some for the first time, 35 seminarians studying for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. Most of them live and study here in Milwaukee at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. However, we have 6 college men who, as young men post-high school, have already positively ascertained their call to the priesthood and are taking it seriously. That's amazing. We in Milwaukee do not have a college program per se, so we send these men to St. Joseph College Formation Program in Chicago on the campus of Loyola University. It's the Archdiocese of Chicago's college program. And it's been a great feeder school for us because, in other words, most of the Milwaukee men who graduate from this program in Chicago come to Milwaukee and continue their studies for the priesthood. And for that, we're very grateful. Today, we're blessed to have 2 of those students, Michael Steger and David Sampino, with us. And welcome, Michael and David.
Thank you.
Hi.
Thank you for being here. Now, you're well into the semester, and we trust that that is going well. For starters, if you could both just tell us a little bit about your background, your family background, your life before the seminary, and kind of your school and education. We'll begin with you, David.
I'm the oldest of 8, and we're a very Catholic family. I went to high school 2 years at Catholic Central in Burlington, Wisconsin, and then 2 years at St. Lawrence High School Seminary, and they were absolutely wonderful years, and I've enjoyed it very much, and my entire family has been fully supportive of me in this calling to the priesthood.
It's just a natural thing for you, given your family background, I think, just to see it as a natural choice, right? How about you, Mike?
I've got a family, 3 siblings. We're very Catholic, and I was homeschooled most of my life until freshman year in high school. Then I returned to homeschooling after being at St. Lawrence for 1 year.
So you're both St. Lawrence people, to some, at least for a year. Good. Yeah. And what about your vocation? How did that start percolating, coming to your mind and heart that, you know, maybe God is calling me to the priesthood? I mean, that's a pretty startling realization. Mike, what about you?
I really don't have any moment in my life where I thought I'm being called to the priesthood. It just kind of seemed like, well, maybe someday I'll be a priest. I never thought about seminary, you know. It just it was there. And as I continued moving on through life, I continued to pray about it. It was just always there.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of asking the question, you know, Jesus, what do you want to do with my life, right? I mean, it's if we let him direct us, we're confident that he'll give us the answer. How about you, David?
I have a similar story in that it was never a lightning bolt strike. I'm going to be a priest. But I thought from actually fairly young age that it would be, you know, it just seemed right. Something about it seemed right. And I've, you know, been thinking about it, you know, since about that age of 7 almost.
Wow.
And just it's always seemed right. And whenever I had any doubts or wanted to look in another path, you know, especially, you know, early teenage years, there was always everyday signs suggesting that priesthood is the path that I should be on. And so here I am.
You're both living proof that God continues to call people, and that call echoes in young hearts. You know, so that call to be a disciple, to follow Jesus, to become a priest is perennial throughout the history of the church and will be until the end of time. So you link your vocation story and your life to a long chain of discipleship and service that goes all the way back to Jesus and the apostles. That's an amazing thing. Why did you want to attend a college seminary program as opposed to a regular college or university? You know, sometimes people say, yeah, I feel God calling me to be a priest, but not yet. I just want to go to a regular college, experience life as a regular college student, and then I'll think about it. You know, what compelled you to say, no, I want something different already in my undergrad experience that's more explicitly focused on priesthood? What would you say to that, Dave?
Personally, I've spent a lot of time at seminaries. I was at St. Lawrence for 2 years before that, but I've had previous experience with seminaries and knew that it was a place where I'd feel very at home, and was very, very excited, you know, to find out that I could have this option, you know, built onto, you know, my college career in which I'm growing more closer to, you know, what I am trying to do for the rest of my life. And it's just a great environment to do that in.
What are you majoring in, Dave?
The USCCB requires that the college students major in philosophy. In addition to that, I'm majoring in history and then maybe possibly a minor in computer science.
It's a great combination. How about you, Mike? What compelled you to say already in college, I want to be in a seminary environment? That's for me.
Well, actually, I was about to join the military and thought, oh. Well, I can't just throw away as many as 8 years of my life when I'm about to, you know, start my life. I can't just say, God, no, I don't want to do your thing for however many years. And I felt like I had to discern it right now. College wouldn't have been helpful, I thought, for that. And there's a lot of formation that happens and discernment, spiritual direction, things like that, that go on in the seminary. That's why I wanted to do it.
I really resonate with that experience. I felt clearly called to priesthood in high school to the point where I went into the college formation program, you know, right out of high school. That time we lived at St. Francis de Sales and had formation there and commuted to Marquette for our classes. So it's pretty much the same model that you do in Chicago, but it was here. And for me, it was great. It was really a combination of the best of what Marquette had to offer, but in a context of priestly formation. And it was just an intense experience of study and prayer and life. And some of the friendships I made in the college seminary program are the best in my life. You really become like brothers. You become like family. What would you say the difference is between being in a college seminary and receiving a theology or philosophy degree from a regular college? In other words, what's the difference between formation and education? How would you see formation as being maybe more integrated or whole? Dave, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, it's one thing to get, you know, just a major at any university in something. And while, you know, St. Francis would definitely accept a philosophy major from, you know, a reputable university, at the same time, that formation adds a completely another aspect that is part of you as a priest. And it's just additional training that you're going to miss out unless you have this opportunity.
So seminary is really more than just taking classes, obviously. You know, it's the life of prayer, it's spiritual direction, it's learning our mystical tradition, it's being formed in this group of believers. And it's more than just forming your mind, it's forming your heart and your attitudes, your beliefs. Anything you'd say to that, Mike, or add to that? Just the difference between education and formation.
It's the group of people that you're with. It's not just the formation that you receive formally. It's the formation from the people around you. The conversations that happen are important to the formation. Just discussing celibacy with somebody else your age, mm-hmm. really, and being with people who are also considering the priesthood is helpful.
I always felt my fellow seminarians had as much of a hand in my formation as the formators did at times, because like you said, you discuss, you know, your common ideals, your dreams of priesthood, your values. And I found my brothers were not afraid to challenge me or to call me out on things. So we call that fraternal correction, you know, where we kind of lovingly challenge each other to be the best that we can be. And that's not necessarily going to happen in a regular college dorm, but you'll see that happening in a college seminary. And that's great. Walk us through a day in the life at St. Joe's. What does a typical day look like? When do you get up? When do you pray? What classes do you do? What goes on in a typical day, if there is such a thing?
Well, each day is different. There's no way around it. But I would say a typical day for me would be to start, wake up at 6-ish, and just get ready for the day and, you know, try to be in the chapel. You have to be in the chapel by 7, so try to get there a little early. And then that is, you have 15 minutes of meditation on most days, followed by morning prayer and mass. And then that's followed by breakfast and classes. And then a lot of people will get together for lunch, mm-hmm. just because, you know, they get the time together. And then in the afternoons, some people have apostolates and whatnot. And then at 5:15, you have evening prayer followed by dinner.
Then at night, you're doing homework, Mike, usually, or what goes on after supper?
There's homework, of course, but there's also formation in the evenings. Monday nights, of course, we have speakers that come in, or we have group discussions about different topics. And Tuesday nights are our free nights. A lot of guys go out and do apostolates on those evenings. They work in a soup kitchen. Mm-hmm. Or they go to a hospital and take communion to the sick. Wednesday nights we have rosary in a group, a special rosary. It more than just two languages. We have Latin, English, Spanish,
Swahili, Vietnamese, Arabic, Swahili, Japanese, German. Yeah. It's all over the
place.
Those are languages people are studying, or languages people are speaking.
Just speak. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well. Some of it is for fun, mm-hmm. like Japanese, but
that sounds interesting. Good.
Yeah.
And when you look at the totality of your time so far, what would you say to a young man that's considering college, seminary? How would you encourage him? What would you say about, you know, your life, your experience there at St. Joe's?
You're not going to be bored. There's also a huge sense of community, and if you like friends and you like being social, I mean it's a great place to be, because these group of guys will be your brothers and they'll stick with you through thick and thin and help you through whatever you need, and they're also you know with you and they're doing the same thing that you're doing. And because of that, I mean, you'll talk more and more about things that matter more likely to you, and it will be more likely to be on target than all over the place.
Do you find time to get involved on campus at Loyola at all, or is the schedule at St. Joe's so intense there really isn't a lot of time for extracurricular things?
There's a bit of time. I go to the pro-life club. Unfortunately, we have to cut out early because of the seminary schedule. But there is time to do other things. It's not like you're locked into one schedule all the time.
That's great. I just think college is a great time to set your values, to discern your vocation, and to become the person that God has called you to be. I very much treasure my years in the college seminary program. We're blessed today to have Michael Steger and David Sampino with us. They're both college seminarians studying for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, young men who have heard that call early on and have said yes to it early on. And as they continue their formation towards the priesthood, we certainly pray for them, and we're blessed to have them here today. You're listening to New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. We're taking a short break. We'll be right back.
Did you know we have a few Marian treasures right here in the Milwaukee area? Why not visit the beautiful and scenic Marian Shrine of the Milwaukee Archdiocese located at 141 North 68th Street, or the Basilica of the National Shrine of Mary, Help of Christians at Holy Hill. These scenic shrines offer a perfect place to relax, reflect, and pray. Brought to you by Senglob Financial for all your financial needs at 262-646-4466. Securities and advisory services offered through Harbor Investments Incorporated.
New heart, new spirit on Relevant Radio. Once again, Father Don Hyatt.
Welcome back to New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. I am Father Don Hying, the rector. Today we're talking with Michael Steger and David Sampino, two of our college seminarians who have said yes to Jesus' invitation to consider the priesthood as the way for them to live out their vocation. We've been talking about their vocation, their life at St. Joseph's College Seminary Program in Chicago, and what that is and what that looks like. Welcome back, David and Michael. Great to have you here today. Would you just say a word to us about how you spent this last summer? You know, I think sometimes people think that when you go to the seminary, they lock you up for 8 years and you can never get out again until we snap a collar on you. Obviously, that is not the case. And we encourage a lot of varied activities to help in your growth as a person and as a future priest. So what did you do this summer? We'll start with Mike.
Actually, I had a couple weeks of vacation, and then I worked at the, not exactly the seminary, I worked in the vocations office living at the seminary, and that was a very good experience just to see guys coming in at different levels and to meet with them before they were actually in the seminary.
What were some of the things you did in the office? Probably
mailings,
some of everything. Right?
Yeah, a whole ton of stuff.
And I saw you mowing grass a few days of the seminary,
too. Yeah, that was definitely a pleasant portion of my summer.
Manual labor is a good thing, and we have a great campus that is beautiful in the summer. How about you, Dave? How did you spend this summer?
I spent the summer working with Father Jim Schuerman at my home parish, St. Andrew's in Delavan.
And what did you do? What were some of the things you got involved in?
I did pretty much everything underneath the sun. I shadowed Father a lot. I acted as the sacristan, and so I prepared for a lot of the masses and served with him. But in addition to that, I went to do home visits to also the hospital, jail ministry. I did some catechesis training, and then I also got to play secretary for a week and a half, and that was interesting.
There's amazing amounts of things that go on in a parish during the week. A lot of times people think that, you know, Sunday's the big day with Mass, and then rest of the week, priest just sits around eating bonbons and watching television, and you know that's certainly not the case. There's an intense amount of activity. I think, you know, Mike, you had kind of a taste of people coming to discernment, so kind of looking back to where you were when you first came in. David, sounds like you had a little peek into the future of what a priest looks like in action. When you think of the priesthood, when you think of yourselves as priest in 2017, which seems like a long ways away, but actually isn't, we know how quickly time goes, what fires you up the most? I mean, what really inspires you to say, yes, Lord, I want to do this with my life, and I can't imagine doing anything else besides being a priest? What inspires you, David?
Helping people in such a unique way. The whole thing about the college seminary, it's a process of discernment. But anytime I think of anything else, it's something seems lacking. And every time I think of the priesthood, I just feel, you know, that I'm fulfilling something, and I feel like I'm making a difference. Mm-hmm. Just on such a great level, a spiritual level, and that, you know, just helping people and their souls, it means a lot.
When you think about it, everything you do as a priest touches eternity, because you're leading people to encounter God. You're leading people to conversion. God is powerfully using you to be an instrument of His presence and His salvation in the lives of others. You know, so when you're a priest, you stand with people in the most significant moments of life, and you get to speak a word about what matters the most. So Sunday homily is really like prime time. I mean, how many people get to speak for maybe 10 or 12 minutes about the things that matter the most to literally thousands of people. What about you, Mike? What really inspires you? What captivates you when you contemplate yourself as a priest?
Well, what I most think that I'll enjoy is just being a priest and inspiring people to live the Christian life, to live the life of Christ, aspiring to holiness, to really living as Christ did, so that I'm an example to others. That's what I really want to do. I want to serve the people of God. And being in Mass on Sundays this summer in my parish has been a really neat experience, just for the first time to look at all these people all around and just to feel the people of God and think, wow, someday I'm going to get to serve these people.
People that you know, I mean, friends, relatives, maybe even people that just run into you, must be amazingly intrigued that as young as you are, you know, you both seem very clear that this is your vocation. Do you get a lot of questions? You know, why do you want to do this? Or questions about celibacy, questions about the church? Do you find a great amount of interest that's piqued because of your life as a seminarian, Dave?
People definitely, you know, step back and say, whoa, how old are you again? Yeah. The number one question actually asked is when will you be ordained? But after you tell them that, then everyone's just got a plethora of questions they want to ask you, ranging from their own personal opinions on, you know, hot topics to, you know, why or how long have you known or what was your, you know, discernment like. And people are just like amazed and very, very grateful, you know, just to hear that, you know, someone, you know, as young as, you know, I am is, you know, trying to be a priest.
It gives people great hope, I think, and encouragement.
It does. Yeah. It really does.
Yeah. How about you, Mike? Do you find people around you look at you differently or ask you particular questions? Or
I've really only ever had one negative reaction. That was before I joined last year. One of my friends, non-Catholic, he didn't get it at all. He went, why would you want to do that? You just completely didn't understand it. But a lot of other people in my parish and just from wherever, they're very happy. They say that they'll pray for me, encourage me in my vocation. It's very, very wonderful.
And I think even the people that perhaps don't understand it, deep down really admire it because it is a life of service and of generosity and of renunciation. Do you get much questioning about celibacy? You know, how can you be sure that God's calling you to celibacy or not really?
Oh, all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah. So it's interesting. We live in such a sexually saturated culture that I think celibacy really stands as a sign of contradiction and really points people to say, you know, our sexuality, our life is about relationship, and whether it's as a celibate priest or as a married man and a father, requires the same gifts, demands the same love. It's a different way of living it out, but it's still a relationship of essentially marital intimacy, you know, because a priest really lives out that mystery of the covenant between Christ and the church. So when people say, you should have been a married man and a father, you know, my response is always, well, the same gifts, the same virtues that fathers need in families, fathers in the priesthood need in the church as well. So I'm sure you have had to come up with articulate answers to questions about church teaching on hot topics. But it becomes a moment of catechesis, doesn't it? A moment of evangelization. I mean, you can really reach people in informal conversations.
Definitely.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
When I was in the seminary, I waited on tables at a restaurant for a while, and people would always ask, what are you studying in school? And I'd tell them I was studying to be a priest. I think I probably informally heard more confessions putting down dishes of food at tables than sometimes I did in the confessional, because many of the people I talked with were fallen away Catholics who, you know, all of a sudden there's a seminarian in front of them, raises a lot of religious questions and spiritual issues with them, and found those conversations fascinating. Which reminds me that I think sometimes as priests we can kind of live in a bubble. You know, there's times we can just be with people that think like us, serve people that are already very committed to the church, and don't necessarily reach out to those that aren't going to church or those that aren't committed. Something I'd love to do was go around with the Legion of Mary when I was at Our Lady of Good Hope, and we would visit people house to house, door to door, and just try to engage Catholics that hadn't been going to church. And, you know, for somebody to see your pastor at your door ringing your doorbell in his collar holding a bulletin, you know, there's something compelling about that. So we need to take the gospel to the street, I think, and not just stay in the rectory and the sanctuary, but really engage with people that don't necessarily believe in anything. I mean, how else do we reach them if we don't go to where they're at? So please know of our prayers, Michael and David. Please know of our admiration that at the age you are, you've already made a very mature response. And as you continue to go through these years of formation, that, you know, the prayers of the entire church are behind you. If some of our listeners are interested in learning more about the college seminary program, please contact us. You can email newheartnewspirit@sfs.edu. You can email the vocations office at www.thinkpriest.org. You can Facebook St. Francis de Sales Seminary, Wisconsin. You can Twitter SFDSS Seminary. There's all kinds of ways that you can contact us. But I know Father Jim Lobaz and Father Peter Berger would love to sit down with you if you have any sense of call, any sense of question, any interest in the seminary, even if you're in high school and thinking of going in college. Some seminary news and updates. Our institution of acolyte is tomorrow, October 30th. You may not know that there's a series of steps on the way to the priesthood. One is institution of lector, one is institution of acolyte, another one is candidacy and diaconate. It's steps in which one moves ever more closely to the fullness of the commitment to the priesthood. So please pray for Patrick Burns and Philip Shoemaker, who will be taking that step tomorrow. We're also looking forward to declaration of candidacy in the first weekend of December. Those who will be ordained deacons next spring, after going through evaluation, will be preparing intensively for the diaconate next spring. We're already more than halfway through the academic semester, and as the time continues to fly by, please continue to pray for us as we pray for you. We're approaching the month of November, and it's a month when we pray for our deceased benefactors and anyone else that you would like remembered in daily Mass at the seminary. So if you have names of deceased loved ones, feel free to pass them on to us at St. Francis de Sales Seminary, 3257 South Lake Drive, St. Francis, Wisconsin, 53235. And we will include those names in our daily remembrance at Mass in this month of November when we pray for the dead with particular intensity. Please tune in next week to Archbishop Lestecky, and you will be hearing us again on New Heart, New Spirit on Friday, November 12th. So please stay in touch and don't hesitate to contact us if you have ideas for a show, if you have themes or questions that you would like to bring up. We're grateful for your support and for listening to this program, and above all for your prayers as we continue to allow Jesus' new heart, new spirit into our lives and to prepare men for the priesthood for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. God bless you.
This week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee has been brought to you by the Senglob Financial Group.
To contact Father Hying, log on to relevantradiomilwaukee.com, keyword seminary. And be sure to join us next time for This Week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, featuring New Heart, New Spirit on Relevant Radio, 100.1 FM.